The text that calls for our attention this Lord's Day then comes to us from our gospel lesson for the day. From Luke chapter 2, the account of the boy Jesus in the temple, and especially these final words. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The book of Proverbs says this: wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. The great King Solomon, given in a dream a chance to have anything his heart desired of God, chose wisdom. Jesus, that babe born in Bethlehem, now grown into a 12-year-old boy, when given the chance, stayed behind and sat in the temple and soaked up godly wisdom. You would think that these three facts alone should make us, God's people of this day and age, a people who are always found wanting wisdom every chance that we get. I'm not sure that we could truly show by our lives that we are always that people who are seeking out godly wisdom. Oh, we like information. We read newspapers. We browse web pages. We devour books. We like understanding and know-how. We like to know how to fix things. We like to know how to cook things. We like to know how the game is played. We even like things that our world calls wisdom. We soak in the words of the latest TV guru. We capture the last inspiring speech from that YouTube sensation. We pick up an idea from here and another idea from there and call it wisdom. But what about true wisdom? What about godly wisdom? Is that something that you and I truly have a desire for deep in our hearts? Are we found wanting that kind of wisdom? I know today it's very easy to say yes. After all, we showed up at church this morning. And no doubt that is a good sign. But when you look at our church on a whole, even our attendance at church is simply not as strong as it was just a few years ago. For the first couple years, at least, that I was here, we averaged about 135 people in church a week. Last year, that we just ended, was more around 120. Now, maybe it's just the pastor's fault, and he's driving away people. But unfortunately, there's probably a greater truth at work. Ultimately, that decrease in the number of people here every week is a sign that fewer and fewer people seem to value the godly wisdom that is laid out here on a weekly basis. Or at least, at the very least, it means that those people that are not here have come to value something more than godly wisdom. But even those of us that have been here quite regularly in the last year must also ask a question of ourselves. Sure, we are here on Sunday morning, but are we really here? Do we truly soak in the godly wisdom that is read from the Word and that is proclaimed from the pulpit? Are we here to truly inwardly digest the Word? Or are there other reasons that we find our ways into the pews each week? And then we can look at our Bible study class as well. While we blessedly gained a few people this year from last, when you look at the numbers, it's still about 10% of the people that gather for worship that show up for Bible study. Or put even more bleakly, if we need to, it's about 5% of those people that say they are members of the church. There is no place better than Sunday morning Bible class to be able to truly soak in the wisdom. If we somehow could take a survey and find out about those people in our church that are daily engaging in some study of the Word or some devotional practice. Unfortunately, I suppose the percentages would be quite small as well. Never have God's people in any time past had so many ways to receive God's wisdom, and yet at the same time received it so little. We can read the Word, we can listen to the Word, we can watch the Word, and yet many times we do none of those. We can find the Word on our shelves, we can find it on the internet, we can find it in a tape player, a CD player, or an MP3 player. And yet, many times, rather than finding it, it simply remains lost to our ears, and then also our minds and our hearts. And finally, how many times is it that when making a decision about our lives, that we actually take the time to truly search God's Word, to see if there's any wisdom or insight that it might have into the place where we find ourselves? How many of our young people think about what the Bible has to say when considering who they might choose to date? How many of our older people consider the wisdom of God when making career choices, business plans, or financial plans? How many struggling couples consult the Word first and then only later consider an attorney? Yes, you see, you and I, by God's grace, should know that godly wisdom is the most precious thing that there is, that it's the only true wisdom that exists. But the devil, the world, and our flesh, not to mention our friends, our TVs, and our busyness, often make us forget that truth. And when you string together a temporary lapse of belief in that truth with another, soon you have a whole string full of sinful habits of neglect. And if we allow those habits to simply stay in our life, we end up left without any real wisdom at all and begin making all of our decisions based simply on following the latest folly. As a kid, when I was in youth group, and we would stop to play some sort of Bible game, there was always one thing that made me not want to win. Because you see, whenever I won the Bible game, people always assumed I won just because my dad was the pastor. As if somehow by being born a pastor's kid, I somehow had this knowledge of the Scriptures inside of me. It always made me mad because I knew those answers only because I had read my Bible. Jesus makes it clear in our gospel lesson that he was not just some sort of pastor's kid, but he was the Father's kid. Even though his mom and Joseph didn't understand it when he told them. You see, when his mom asked why he had stayed behind when they had went on, why he had caused them such anxiety, Jesus answered them by saying, "Oh, I thought you knew I would be here in my dad's house." The best we can tell, Jesus was not somehow just born with a complete knowledge of the Scriptures in his gut. No, from everything we can tell, Jesus learned the Scriptures just like any Jewish boy of his days would have learned the Scriptures. Oh, the fact that he was divine and the fact that he was human at the same time means we'll never truly understand how all that worked. But as I said, everything we have in the Scriptures suggests that Jesus learned just like anyone else. He learned the Scriptures in the synagogue. He learned it in his home. And on those rare, special festival occasions, he got to learn it in the temple itself. What was amazing, though, with Jesus was the way that he learned, the perfect way that he took in godly wisdom. You see, his sinlessness meant that he loved every word of God that he could hear, and that he was quick to have understanding into it. There was no sin to cloud his vision. There was no sin to make him look another way. And that's why we find him in our gospel lesson for today at the age of 12, seemingly not only there listening and learning, but teaching through his comments and through his questions. We are told that every time Jesus came into contact with the Word, he indeed grew in wisdom and in grace. In fact, Jesus grew so much in his wisdom to the point where Matthew says that Jesus was truly wiser than even that great King Solomon, that one whom kings and queens had flocked to. It was this wisdom that Jesus had, along with the fact that he was divine, that made him truly understand exactly why he was there in the flesh, why he had come down to this world. It was his true understanding into the Scripture that made him understand that it was necessary for him not only to learn in Jerusalem as a 12-year-old boy, but to die in Jerusalem as a 30-something older man. And perhaps when we consider that truth, that godly wisdom led Jesus to die on the cross, it only adds another reason why we are afraid to soak in godly wisdom. Perhaps as we watch Jesus suffering and dying, we realize that walking in God's wisdom might not mean for us such an easy life either. Yes, we learn if we listen to Jesus that while walking in godly wisdom meant the literal cross for him, it also means that each of us are to pick up our own cross and follow. In my time here, I've had more than one person say to me in private that they didn't want to come and talk to me because they knew what I would say to them. I think what they really mean is that they knew what God had said, and that it was a hard word to live out in real life. But thankfully, through the Spirit, they also knew that that word was true, and in the end, it would yield blessing. There are just so many reasons, so many forces trying to get us away from being people who are constantly found wanting wisdom, that wisdom of God himself. If it isn't all the information and advice flying around, then it's our lazy flesh telling us to miss those opportunities where we could receive such wisdom. And if it isn't the ample supply of friends encouraging us to just act quickly without seeking truth, then it's that fear of how our life might be completely altered if we really did seek truth. But today, God comes to us again through his word. And he offers us today what he gave Solomon so many years before. God here today, through his word and through his supper, offers us his wisdom. In fact, he promises through the book of James that anyone who asks for wisdom will receive it. No questions asked. The wisdom that God first wants you to have this day is that wisdom that lies at the heart of the entire Scripture. God wants you to be truly wise unto salvation this day, realizing that all of your sins of folly are forgiven. They are forgiven because of the one who lived the perfect life and walk in that perfect godly wisdom all the way into the cross and all the way out of the tomb. God speaks that wisdom into your ears again, even now. And he will soon place that same wisdom of his forgiveness into your mouths at his altar. And with an invitation like that that God gives us today, how can you and I not be people found wanting wisdom? Yes, again, today, God's kindness leads to our repentance, and then washes away all of our sins. And as cleansed people, then, we can leave here today not only wanting that wisdom that our sins are forgiven, but desiring every last bit of wisdom that God would choose to reveal to us in His Word. The Proverbs tell us that wisdom is to be cherished above all things. The great King Solomon was given the chance to ask for anything and chose wisdom. And Jesus, at age 12, decided to remain behind and soak in the godly wisdom that was being taught in his father's house. May we too be found as people wanting wisdom. Amen.